Hello, and welcome to show number 2553 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
On today's show, we'll be celebrating 15 years of podcasting Eyes on Success, and in those years, we have not missed a single week.
Nearly 800 episodes in our archive.
This year-end episode features an edited version of Evan Starnes' Blind Level Tech podcast in which he interviewed us for his show. We'll discuss the origins of Eyes on Success, challenges in podcasting, some memorable shows, rewarding connections with guests, and how the show has grown over 15 years to inspire the blind community. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip is, there are lots of sources of information out there, and you should make sure to listen to the ones that are most meaningful to you. Hopefully that includes our show.
And if you enjoy Eyes on Success, share it with a friend. Tell them about it. Let them know about what's so nice about this show. And if you want to sign up for announcements to get weekly announcements and links to the shows, send an email to eyesonsuccess, followed by the plus sign, followed by the word subscribe at googlegroups.com. That's eyesonsuccess plus subscribe at googlegroups.com.
And now we're going to play excerpts from Evan's interview of us as aired initially on Blind Level Tech.
Let's roll.
I am your host, Evan Starnes, and today I've got a very, very exciting treat for you guys, and I am incredibly excited to just jump straight on in. And I am joined by two very special podcast hosts that have been doing a podcast that, honestly, this is the podcast that got me into, you know, podcasts for the blind and low vision community in the first place, like quite a while ago back in high school. So joining me today are Peter and Nancy Torpy from the podcast Eyes on Success. Welcome you guys to Blind Level Tech. I can't even say how incredible it is to have you guys joining me. It's amazing.
Oh, thank you, Evan. I must say this is the first time we've ever been referred to as a treat.
Mm-hmm.
And we're honored.
Really?
I'm so glad. Your studios here and meet you in person.
Absolutely. Well, I'm super glad to hear that. And you guys have been in the podcasting business for about 15 years now, but you have quite a bit of a background. So I wanted to kind of talk about, give us like an audio selfie. Like, where were you before Eyes on Success, and kind of what is your general backgrounds? Peter first, actually.
We actually grew up on Long Island, about 20 miles from each other, but never met until we were working for Xerox in upstate New York in Rochester. And we were both research scientists there. And that's where we met.
That's awesome. When did you guys move over to Colorado?
I guess 8 years ago now. It took me a while to convince Nancy to move up here. Once we retired from Xerox and wanted to do things during the day, we found out just how cloudy and cold it was during the winters in Rochester. We're looking for more sunny places where you can enjoy the weather, be outdoors more. And we had often vacationed in the Southwest, in New Mexico, Arizona, and we happened to find Golden, Colorado, because our son had a job out here.
Like everybody else, I too fell in love with Colorado, but I was very reluctant to leave all our friends. We'd been in the Rochester area for several decades by then, and we had our whole lives there, and I was reluctant to leave that. But eventually, Pete talked me into moving here, and we've made new friends and, you know, gotten a new one of everything else, a piano tuner, a hairdresser, and it's been really great.
That's awesome. I think, yeah, leaving your friends is always the toughest part. That's why I haven't moved. All my friends and family are here. Couldn't imagine. And it's funny because right when you guys moved to Colorado is when I discovered your podcast. My mobility instructor was saying, hey, check out these Peter and Nancy Torpy, Eyes on Success. They actually just moved here to Colorado and are living here now. So that was kind of that was actually about when I discovered your podcast. And transitioning to the podcast itself, for those who haven't heard of Eyes on Success, how did it first come to be? It was originally called Viewpoints, or like in the first place.
Well, you know, Pete and I are sitting in your recording studio where the volunteers for AfterSight sit. Well, it started originally, we volunteered to answer the phones during the fund drive at the local NPR affiliate. And then one of the people there who runs the FM station also ran their radio reading service. And I wound up being a volunteer at the radio reading service. So this is sort of like old home week, except the equipment's changed in the last 15 years or so. And then she said, hey, you know, between you, you know a lot about technology. You both speak well. Why don't you start your own podcast? And so we thought about that pretty hard, and eventually we did.
And we never thought we'd have enough ideas to do more than 6 or 12 shows or so, but just figured, well, what the heck, we'll just try it. And it was fun. And we just kept on going. It grew from there. And eventually, after a year or two, we went out on our own because it's so easy and inexpensive to have your own home studio these days and produce your own shows.
And the thing with the name was we originally called it Viewpoints. We thought that was a great name. But we learned about a year and a half in that there was some other weekly radio show called Viewpoints that, like, they talked about politics. It had nothing to do with blindness and access tech. But they had trademarked or copyrighted the name Viewpoints. And so we contacted them and we're like, we're just this little two-bit operation. We're doing good things for people with blindness. And is it okay if we keep using the name? And they said, no. So then we needed a new name.
And then thus Eyes on Success came to be.
Well, yeah, but by then we knew that we needed a URL for the website. We needed names for Facebook and Twitter and, you know, on and on and on. And it had to not be trademarked by anybody else yet. So it took a while to find a name that was okay that hadn't already been used.
Oh, we went through probably 100 names and we wanted to represent what the show was about, make it seem kind of upbeat. We figured Eyes on Success was a good thing because that's really what the show is about. You know, that blind people, they can be successful. And we wanted to share those stories of blind people doing successful things, overcoming odds. And that's what the show became.
And hard as we had tried to find a name that was not in use, it turns out we didn't check on rap songs. Somebody had recently recorded a rap song called Eyes on Success, and there was a little bit of confusion about that, but that's kind of gone away, and we're cool with it now.
That's good. It's a cool, you know, abbreviation too, EOS.
Well, it turns out that the initials of Eyes on Success, EOS, spell the name of the Greek goddess of the dawn, which adds to the uplifting message that we're trying to convey with the show. And that is reflected in our logo, which has the letters EOS and lines fanning out from the bottom of the O to make it look like a sunrise, because it's the same as the name of the goddess of the dawn.
Primarily, you guys are focusing on sharing individual stories, those who are blind, low vision, visually impaired, whatever it might be, right?
Yeah, and that's really what the show is about. And it's kind of our way of giving back after we retired. You know, I've been blind since birth, although I had some sight when I was younger. I don't have any now. But I had a very successful career as a blind research physicist. We both have PhDs in physics. And so the idea was, if you're blind, you don't have to be out on the street selling pencils. So we found people around the world who were doing all kinds of things, even though they were blind, between running marathons, having great professional careers in science and law. And we wanted to share those stories and tell people, look, you may feel like you're down in the dumps now and things are impossible, but other people have overcome these odds. It's not such a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. The grass is always greener on the other side, pretty much.
Yes.
Kind of thing. Did you have like one outstanding guest or outstanding experience that you that is still kind of stuck with you guys since you've been recording?
Well, I'd like to take a try at that one. You know, we've talked to so many wonderful people and they have all been so generous with their time and we really appreciate it. But I think one of the most fun and exciting shows we did was when we got Jim Fruchterman and Dean Blasey and Ted Hender on the line at the same time. And they were the people who, for anyone who didn't know, had, you know, really done groundbreaking work on braille displays and optical character recognition and putting together the JAWS screen reader. And they hadn't seen each other in years. And so it was just really exciting.
Yeah, it was kind of a reunion for them and just kind of fun to get them all together.
That's so cool, though, that you like just so happen to be able to get everybody together and kind of reunite through the podcast. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think that's a beautiful thing about podcasting in general is it's, you know, yes, you can have your own podcast, your friend can have their podcast or whatever. But when you guys actually talk on each other's podcasts and cross promote, it's just such a good way to spread the word about your show and also just information and get listeners on board.
Well, and as Nancy said, people are so generous with their time. The hardest part sometimes is getting beyond their people. They have these people kind of protecting them that you got to contact the PR person first. And, you know, they're not so interested in some little podcast someplace. But once the actual guest we're interested in finds out about it, it's like, of course I want to talk to them.
Absolutely. I think the other interesting aspect is trying to get, especially if you're trying to do this as a podcast, trying to get people's personalities out. Because if you're interviewing, I've realized people like, you know, in the professional fields, you know, often they're kind of staying within their boundaries. But it's really fun when you can kind of get somebody to just talk about like their personal life experiences and get that human aspect for sure.
Yeah, that's nice. Mm-hmm. You feel like you get to know them a little bit.
It does. Yeah. It makes you feel more comfortable hosting, even if depending on the host.
Yeah. And let me answer your last question again in a very different way.
For sure.
So whereas it was this really exciting getting these pioneers in the field together, I think the most rewarding thing we've done is put together young people with questions, with experienced people with answers. And we got contacted by this young woman in the Philippines, and she wanted to be a pharmacist in the worst way. And her government was putting up all sorts of barriers because she was blind. And she's like, what can you tell me, you know, encourage me to become a pharmacist? We're like, well, we know nothing about that. And we found some blind pharmacist in Wisconsin. And we said, you know, if she wants to hear this, maybe someone else does. And so he agreed to do a whole episode with us. We put them in touch with each other. And, you know, a couple of years later, we heard back from her that she had actually been allowed to sit for the exams and was doing quite well. Thank you. So that was very gratifying.
That's amazing. Yeah. Congratulations to you both. That's incredible. So truly, yeah. Eyes on Success right there. That's like the branding right in the flesh or whatever you'd say. And how would you say the podcast has changed over the 15 years it's been going on?
When we first started at the Radio Reading Service in Rochester, we were doing a show where we discussed various topics for like 3 or 4 minutes each throughout the show. So we had some little snippets of things and we put little audio inserts and we talk in between it. And after about a year or so, we got into the mode of doing complete interviews and then editing those down. And, you know, one of the benefits of distributing this, I think, for us to radio reading services was that many of them had their half hour slots that you had to fit into. So we couldn't just interview someone for 45 minutes or an hour and just have the interview go on forever. We had to edit it down to a half an hour to fit into these show slots. And so we learned to just extract the information that was key and interesting that people wanted to hear without a lot of the excess baggage around the interview. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that people enjoy about the show is that, you know, it really is kind of concise and, you know, to the point.
Yeah, cut and dry.
When we get down to doing the final edit, every once in a while, the show will still be running a minute too long. And we can spend, you know, 10, 20 minutes, both of us together, trying to remove the least interesting parts of the show. And what's left is usually pretty tight.
Mm-hmm. And we, yeah, I've had to do similar things like that for broadcasts too, because we do edit some of our podcasts so they can fit in that like 25 or 55 minute slot. And also I noticed, I imagine things like the tip of the week segment that you guys have every week was not, or I don't know if that was original, but it's definitely a segment I enjoy listening to.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad someone likes it.
The interesting part about that mm-hmm. is we don't want to make guests nervous when we interview them. So we don't do the tip of the week when we start the interview. We always get that at the end of the interview, after people have loosened up a little bit and gotten more comfortable talking to us. And they always come up with something.
That's great to know, actually, because I, as a fairly, I guess I consider myself fairly new here in the podcasting space. One of my things has been trying to get people to, you know, be more relaxed and really embrace the conversational vibe, you know, pretend that we're just having a cup of coffee together and not, you know, it's still a podcast, but it's a conversation. This might have already answered one of the questions I've got, but what's, like, honestly, the biggest hurdle that you guys have had to overcome as podcasters?
Well, at the beginning, nobody knew who we were. And when we tried to find a guest to appear on the show, we'd contact somebody out of the blue and they'd just blow us off. But that kind of overcame itself as we've been doing the show longer and longer and more people know who we are now. It's great. I mean, sometimes people will contact us. Hey, I know so-and-so who's doing something interesting, whether it's a career or a product or a hobby or whatever. You know, I think you should have so-and-so on your show. And this works great because then they're all happy to begin with. Sometimes we'll contact someone out of the blue and we start by describing the show. They're like, oh, I know who you are. I've been listening for years. I'd be honored. And so that kind of fixed itself, I think, largely just because we've been around for a long time.
But these days, as you said, people are starting to contact us. Well, starting, they've been doing that for a while. And we're kind of overwhelmed with ideas. We have a long list of, okay, these are the things we definitely want to do. These are the things that maybe we'll do if nothing else interesting comes along. And then we got a ton mm-hmm. of ideas just in the waiting room back there.
That's awesome. Now, can we talk about kind of one of my favorite little aspects of the show? In fact, and if you haven't heard Eyes on Success before, this aspect is going to more than likely get stuck in your head. That little intro slash musical interlude that you guys use, I'd really like to talk about the origins of it. Because when I heard that, when I was first talking to Nancy, I was like, okay, that's both awesome and surprising.
So as I described to you, we were both research physicists for our careers, but I seriously considered going into music when I was younger. I play piano and a couple of other instruments. I actually went to the Manhattan School of Music on their Saturday program when I was in high school. So I learned a lot about music theory, and just music is a lot of fun, but it's a lot easier and more fun for me to be a physicist. So I've, through the years, have written little tunes and compositions. I've played with my jazz trio. And this popped out as just something that I thought was kind of cute and was representative of our son's energy when he was younger in high school and stuff. And so it's actually a tune I wrote for our son. And as I told you before we started the interview, I've actually written a number of little tunes that we use as ringtones on our phones, one for each member of the family. So we know who's calling as soon as they call.
That's awesome. It's definitely been, and like I said too before, it's still continuously playing on this like infinite loop in my mind right now. So
well, I hope
listen
you
to
like
some
it.
Eyes on Success. Mm-hmm. It's your theme. It's like your brand. In fact, personally, I'd have a hard time without that intro, it just wouldn't sound the same. It wouldn't be the Eyes on Success I'm so used to.
Well, and every once in a while, I've thought about changing it. But as you say, we've heard that same thing from so many people. It gets caught in their ear. And how could we change it?
Let's talk about, what do you guys use for audio equipment? This is like my favorite section, and I can go into the weeds massively. And I know, Pete, you and I were talking about gear beforehand, but what's your go-to equipment for recording?
So as I mentioned it's very easy for an individual to get into podcasting because the equipment is not that expensive these days. And, you know, with Zoom, for you can interview people around the world. So we do our interviews via Zoom these days. We used to do it via Skype, but Zoom just seems to have more features and is kind of stable. We have a Scarlett fourth gen interface that plugs into our computer via USB that is basically a mixer and an audio card. And so we can stick several microphones in there, several inputs from other sources and mix them together. So that's what we use for the audio system. And then our microphones are a couple of Shure SM58. I used to edit a lot of my material in the audio editing software that's used, developed by the American Printing House for the Blind. But I've
Studio Recorder.
Studio Recorder, right. I forgot the name of it.
Yeah.
But these days I'm using Reaper. There's a lot of blind people using Reaper. It's very accessible, has a lot of functions. And I do some of my music stuff there also.
In the editing process, we pass the audio content back and forth and back and forth. And like Pete said, he uses Reaper, and I use Reaper for some aspects of what I do with the program, but I do the fine-tuning editing on the conversation using Audacity.
Hey, nice. That's what I'm using. That's I've used that for years, and it's always nice when you talk to other podcasters that use that, because you always assume there's these, like, you know, there's Pro Tools and Ableton Live that are like really, really nice software. They're like crazy expensive, but the amount of stuff that you can, similar to you know, equipment, recording equipment, the amount of stuff that you can get done with a simple free open source audio editor, or even something like Reaper, that's not really that expensive to get. Once you get, you know, set up with Osara, you know, it's pretty inexpensive to get started in podcasting nowadays, which I think is pretty awesome.
And then sometimes we do our interviews in person. So we're sitting here at the Aftersight studio using all of your equipment. But just in case, we brought our portable digital recorder with us. And I'm going to let you talk about that, Pete, because why we bought this new one was because they finally made one that's accessible.
Occasionally we do in-person interviews. Most of it is by Zoom. And
Zoom.
Coincidentally, the name of this little recorder is a Zoom recorder, and it's called the H4 Essential because you can plug in two microphones and it has two built-in microphones, but it's totally portable. It's a high-end 32-bit recorder, so you can't have any clipping. And so we'll record remotely with that, pull it off to our computer, and then edit it from there. Everything speaks. When you press a button or change something, you can fix all the settings. They've done a great job.
Even when you edit levels, like, I've realized that mine, it'll tell you if the audio is overloaded, it'll tell you if the input's being overloaded while you're adjusting the level. You can use it as like a USB interface.
Yep.
I have the H2E though, so mine's more of the like two pairs of mics on the front and back, but one input. But those are fantastic recorders. So I was curious what you guys had brought for a portable recorder. So, yeah.
And they're not expensive. Yeah, it's only, I think it was like $200 or something.
$200? Yeah, and it's perfect. It's like all you need to throw into your field recording bag, you know, especially if you do go around and cover events or do, you know, in-person interviews on the go. I think it's a great tool. So that is wonderful. Wrapping up here, where can people find you guys?
Well, you can find us everywhere. I mean, start at our website, eyesonsuccess.net. And on the archive page, we've got a list of every episode from that year, but then there's a link to the full archive and it's searchable. So you can go back almost 15 years, over 700 unique episodes, and find episodes talking about anything you're interested in: surfing, knitting, physics, whatever, cooking,
beat baseball.
And if you want to hear shows we've done with various pioneers in the field, if you search for pioneer, you'll get Jim Fruchterman and Dean Blasey and Ted Hender and all the rest of them. And so those are particularly interesting episodes.
And for people who don't want to go to the website, or a little shy about doing that, or it's too much hassle, you can sign up to get a weekly announcement via email of each of our shows, along with a link to the audio, as well as the show notes, which contain all the contact information and resources. If you send an email to eyesonsuccess, followed by the plus sign, followed by the word subscribe at googlegroups.com, you'll be subscribed to our weekly announcements list. It's Eyes on Success plus subscribe at googlegroups.com.
And you can also find those weekly announcements every week on our Facebook page, which is Eyes on Success, and our Twitter feed, which is where we learned about that rap song that overlapped with the name. And so it's _ Eyes on Success.
And if you have questions for us, suggestions for shows, things we can do better or worse, you can contact us by sending an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
And of course, absolutely, it wouldn't be a podcast if you couldn't find it wherever you find your podcasts.
Oh, you can even listen on your Echo devices these days. Just say, play the Eyes on Success podcast. That'll work on any smart device.
Yeah, and you can even listen to it on the telephone now, because thank you to you guys for sending us the info. We have it on our website and call-in phone system now, too.
That's great. So you can hear Eyes on Success on Aftersight and many other radio reading services.
If you have a recent enough Victor Reader stream device, you will automatically get it there.
Absolutely. Second-gen Victor Reader stream, and later you can link your NFB Newsline.
Yeah, so, turns out we just found out recently we're getting complaints from people using the Victor Reader Stream 2, the older version. They can no longer get Eyes on Success on their podcast feed on the Victor Reader Streams. Apparently, you know, the newer servers all want these secure HTTPS servers, and I guess their operating system was incompatible with that, unfortunately.
Well, thank you, Pete and Nancy, for coming on Blind Level Tech and joining me for another episode. This has been truly a treat, and I definitely hope anybody out there that hasn't listened to Eyes on Success, seriously, go check it out. This is what got me into podcasting. There's so many good episodes, and the archives, yes, they go way, way back, and there's just, I mean, across the board, you guys have had a lot of cool people. So thank you for continuing to do the work that you're doing. I'm going to continue listening to you guys weekly. I love Eyes on Success, and I'm just so thrilled to have been able to interview you guys for Blind Level Tech today.
Well, thanks, Evan. It was great meeting you in person and being a part of the episode.
Yeah, it's been a real Absolutely. Pleasure. Thank you so much.
And of course, the show notes for episode 2553 will have all of that information in case you missed it in the audio.
That's it for today's show and for the calendar year 2025. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be beginning calendar year 2026 with a pair of episodes in which we interviewed Glenn Gordon, long the key developer behind JAWS for Windows. In the first episode, we'll be talking with Glenn more about his personal life, his education, his background. And in the second show of the year, we will be talking about his work developing JAWS.
And there'll be lots of more fun shows next year that we have lined up. So join us for that. And Happy New Year to everybody.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.